join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Join me in the book of Exodus, chapter 35. As we step into the next season of what God has released for us to do, next becomes what's new. And yet what is not changed is our commitment and responsibility to love and care for the city of League City. We thank God for the wonderful privilege of being called to love our city and care for our city. And as we began to sense and see this tremendous passion and burden that Dylan had for the young people, not just in his city, but in each and every city that he traveled and literally spoke in front of thousands of kids at a time, we began to recognize that God would give to us an even greater ability to bring his hope to the hurting youth of our community. In fact, our whole first phase building, as you heard Wednesday night, is not for my generation, but it's for his generation. Because we're building our children and youth facility first. The whole reason behind its simplicity is its function is to reach the next generations, which we believe is to be reached now. And so as we turn to Exodus chapter 35, we are literally turning to the next season, the new season in the life of God's people. Starting here in Exodus 35 and continuing for the rest of the book, we find that Pastor Moses is preparing the people for the completion of the tabernacle. Just two chapters prior to that, it's this tabernacle that God speaks of, that God will use this tabernacle and that he will come, and in that tabernacle he will dwell among them. It won't just be any tabernacle. It won't just be any church. It won't be just any phase of a building program. It will be the place of his presence. Building it will come with a great cost, and it will come with great preparation. And so he writes in Exodus 35, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, 'These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, be still. But on the seventh day, you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death.'" That's pretty clear. Next time you decide to miss church on a Sunday, please visit Exodus 35. Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts and our hands to you, for we are not an entitled church family. We are a humbled family. And Lord, we're hungry. We're hungry for what's in your heart. We're hungry for what's in your hands. For Lord, we do not want to just build a place, another place that is for man. We only want to go and build that which will house your presence. For if we leave here and leave your presence here and don't arrive at the next place without it, then for us there's no reason to move forward. So God, let us be very clear in our understanding of what you're asking of us. And this season, may we step into what's next with faithful obedience. We pray this in the name of the Lord, and everybody said, amen. God is making his will and his commands very clear to his people. He's saying here, work shall be done. There's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be great times of perspiration. This perspiration will lead to preparation. And for 6 days, you are to give the sweat of your brow. But on the seventh day, it shall be holy. You shall be still, for this seventh day shall be a Sabbath. And not just any Sabbath, but a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. The Lord is asking something of them. He's very specific. For 6 days, I am going to ask you to work and work hard. But then on the seventh day, I'm going to ask you to rest, to be still, and to know that I am God. This being still is not being inactive. It's being intimate in my presence. That being intimate in my presence will be the gift I ask of you. Now let's keep in mind that in the coming chapters, Israel has a lot of work to do. They have to build a complex and an exact tabernacle of meeting. But before they're released to do anything, they were reminded to enter into God's rest and to respect the Sabbath. I want to pause, and I want us to look at this and see that the same principle holds true for us in our walk with God. That anything we do for the Lord, it must grow out of our rest in Him. And it must grow out of a rest in His finished work on our behalf. Too many times I've found that we try to do things that God has not finished working out and working on yet. And we'll get ahead of Him. And we'll ask God to bless what we're doing. How many of you know, because of personal experience, that God is not obligated to bless what you're doing? That many, many times His will and His way is far different than your will and your way. We live in this spirit and this drive and this motive of I gotta. And God isn't obligated to bless our I gotta. I love how the psalmist writes it in Psalms 37, where he says, beginning in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, now there's a thought. That might just heal your marriage. That might just fix your children. That might bring God's portion to your provision. That simple prescription of trusting God and doing good. But he continues and he says, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness, or He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I want us to go back now to Exodus chapter 35 and verse 2. And I want us to go back to what God calls as strict but simple obedience. He says in Exodus 35 and verse 2, whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. As I was preparing for this morning, I kept going back to that thought. It was very Old Testament, but it was plain and simple. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. I remember growing up with a mom who would read the Old Testament that way and then want us to live it out. And she had the audacity every Sunday to take us to church. She even drug us to something they called Sunday school. And then after church, we would go home and we would eat a meal together as a family. And then we would get to clean the meal up as a family. I always enjoyed the first part more than the second part. But once we cleaned up the meal, my mom would tell each of us kids to now go upstairs and take a nap. And I remember sometimes that taking a nap would bring out the worst of us. Now at 50 years old, taking that nap brings out the best in me. My mom knew she needed a break from us and some time with God. I'm sure my mom went before Him and said many, many times, God, I just thought I wanted children. You can have them back. Strict, simple calls to obedience is where God's portion and provision can be found. I want us to think about where they were. They were not just in a building program. They were building a tabernacle that would house God's presence. And before they built this tabernacle of His presence, God first called them back into His presence. Basic obedience is a prerequisite for doing any work for the Lord. Why is it necessary for us to be still? Why is it necessary for us to observe the Sabbath? I believe it's to establish the priority of His presence over His place.
Hello.
Hello? Pastor Clint? I'm preaching. I'm busy. It's the Sabbath. Everybody else gets to take it off but me. What? You're on the front row. Couldn't this wait till later? Wait, I forgot my hearing aid at home. Let me turn it back on. What'd you say?
We have a meeting tomorrow that we need to get ready.
What meeting do we have tomorrow that's more important than our meeting today? It's with the building committee?
Yeah, we have another lady that's going to come and want to lease the property here. Did you get that?
I'm building a presence for God right now. Could you call me back later? Bye. Security. That lady's back. That's such a picture of our lives. We get busy. And before they got too busy and forgot the value of his presence and poured it into his place, God called them first and said, be still. Observe times of rest and refreshing in my presence. You've got the other 6 days ahead of this day. You've got everything else in your life replacing what was supposed to happen on this day. You've been busy all 24 hours of the other 6 days, and now my time with you lies in the balance. It's what pays for it. God knew how busy it would get. God knew how busy we would be. So over and over again, he calls us back to establishing the priority of his presence, not just over the place that we're building on Calder Drive, but the place that you're building for him in your heart. You see, the greatest tabernacle that's ever built is not the tabernacle that houses his presence on the outside. It's the tabernacle in your heart that he wants to be a part of on your inside. The observance of this was the best guarantee of their continued loyalty and trust in the Lord. So get your Bibles ready, because we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say about the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23 is where we start. I'll be reading from the New International Version. It says in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23, he said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until the morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of this manna, any of this provision on the ground today. For 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people got real busy on the first 6 days, got too busy for God, in the first 6 days, and the seventh day paid for it. Excuse me, that's the Greg Thurstonson real life version interpretation. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Verse 27 says, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found no provision, no manna from the Lord. And so they got angry and bitter and blamed the pastor. Verse 28 said, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people took a deep breath and they rested on the seventh day. On the Sabbath day. I think, friends, so many times we spend our lives wrong. I'm not talking about your money as much as I'm talking about your lives. We spend our lives wrong. And because we get our 6 days, of work, ahead of his one day of rest. We start finding that we lack his provision. And there are the maggots of life, if you would, found in our marriage, found in our relationship with our kids, found in our finances. And if we're not careful, we'll grow angry towards God and his things. And we'll say on the seventh day, I don't want to go to church. All they want is my money. I don't have enough money because there's been maggots in it. You won't forget this sermon, I promise you. My hope is that you'll remember to put him first. Matthew said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all other 6 days, shall take care of themselves. Now let's move to Exodus chapter 20. As I'm drawing near to the introduction of my four-day sermon, Exodus 20 says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. This day, this Sabbath, and what it symbolizes, again we see here, is something unto the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. But even he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord did what? Blessed. He blessed the Sabbath day. And he made it holy. I can't help but wonder, if we've called something God calls holy, unholy. I can't help but wonder if what it means to him when we began to prioritize this day, this concept, this principle, what it must mean to him when we begin to prioritize that tabernacle in our hearts that houses his presence. And we say, Lord, in every one of our days, we are going to practice the Sabbath. I've got so much to do today, I can't afford to be outside your presence. Before preaching this series, I began to really try to practice having a daily Sabbath, because I found that I need more than one day to take a break. That there are some weeks that require 9 days, but no matter how many days it requires, I still have 7. And so I've tried to begin my day with a Sabbath rest. And it seems like the moment I decided to make that decision, my life got busier than it's ever been before. Calls came from everywhere. Whether they were calls from this or thoughts from here, all kinds of things began to call for my attention. I found that I owe, so it's off to work I go. That if I'm not careful, I'll wake up striving. That if I'm not careful, I'll wake up moving fast. And so I have picked a place in our living room that I won't go to sleep, to sit down and to take out my Bible, to read my Bible, not for a sermon, but for a meeting with God. I've tried to begin to apply this principle by just saying, Lord, come and dwell in my heart right now, today. I don't want wisdom for anything. I don't want blessing for everything. I just want to be with you this morning. And I'll hear the Lord say little things like, be still, be quiet. And so I'll listen. And because I'm more of a talker than a listener, it's hard for me to be still and not tell God what I need him to do. I found that with my personality, that I'm real quick to tell God the time frames I need things done. That listening doesn't come easy, but listening is a part of asking him into your life and your day and your heart. And so I'll listen, and it'll be deafening. What is deafening? The sound of silence. I mean, it's just like, oh, I just wish the cat would meow. Let me find her tail and step on it. I mean, it's just so quiet here. I can hardly stand it. But then I'll begin to hear other things that announce that it's a new day in my life that I've never heard before. I didn't know there were birds outside. My point again is, the Sabbath is very holy to God. And where there is holiness, there is the provision of wholeness. And God speaks in those holy moments things that bring about wholeness in our life. He intended to be the first thing that we seek every day and not the last thing. He's never intended himself to be a last resort. Well, we've tried everything else. I guess we'll pray. I guess we'll try church. I just guess we'll try God. Now, as we go to Exodus 23, it continues to say much of the same thing. It says in verse 12, 6 days do you work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. The New Living Translation says, 6 days do you work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your sons and daughters may do the work, so that they may be like slaves to do all the housework, and foreigners living among you to refresh you, because that's why you had them. Use them now before they move out and get married. Exodus 31 is where we're going to go next. Exodus 31 and verse 13 says this, say to the Israelites, it's a command. I am to say to you, New Testament Israelites, modern day Christians, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. That keeps coming up. Coming up. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days, work is to be done, but on the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. I want to talk to you a little bit about the bowling program. I'd like to talk to you about the building program. And I would like to call you into the seventh day, into a day of rest and refreshing. I'd like to remind you that this property, when we bought it, this 30 acres at Calder Road, in a community where land is valued at $250,000 an acre if you can buy it. I want to remind you that years ago we bought this property for $750,000. Even as we bought it, people began to leave church. They would get up in the middle of messages and have the audacity to go serve in the children's ministry. But for 30.5 acres of land, we were able, for the purchase price of 3 acres of land, to buy what God said, I've already gone there, done that, and it's a completed work in heaven. This is my will in heaven. And now we've entered into new, and what's next? And he said, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's calling us into a Sabbath rest. He's calling us into what he has already completed. That we are not to lose our mind, lose our peace, and lose his presence because of a building program. Because he's gone before us. He's provided the way. He will do the work. This is now in his hands and not ours. That's when we get in trouble. From the beginning, when we realized that we needed to start a stewardship program, the board that was leading at that time sat down and we discussed this wonderful opportunity, and they said, you know what we're going to keep first? And I said, what are we going to keep first? They said, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord will be the priority, not the place of the Lord, but in my words this morning, it will be the presence of the Lord. And you know what we're going to keep second? Is souls that lie in the balance. And because we've done that, God has said, well done, thou good and faithful church family and servants. Now enter into the rest of the puzzle. Now enter into times of refreshing, because you put me first and you put other souls before your own. I will come and I will now provide for you, and I will do with my hand what you can't do in your own. He is going to come and he is going to be mighty, because this is not for us, it's for him. It would be far easier for us to stay here. It would be far easier for us to have two or three services here. It would be much easier to not have to face the demands of the work that comes in the next 6 days of our life. But friend, we don't have to worry about it, because God has said, declare for me a Sabbath. And as you give me this Sabbath, as you give me your lives, I will do more in one day than you could do in 1,000 elsewhere. The Hebrew words, the Hebrew language is two words for work. The first word is a general term meaning work. But the second word, it refers to business and things specifically forbidden on the Sabbath. So one might say here that God allows some work to be done on the Sabbath, but that God does not allow certain things and certain work on the Sabbath, especially business-related things. In the middle of all this, we could make a business out of building. And you could be made to feel guilty, because you could be made to feel like you have to give something you don't have. Here they go again. The building program. I've seen that video more times. In fact, I can tell them what they're going to say before they say it. I've seen it so many times. If I see pastor's head, which is the size of a sundial, on that TV one more time, I'm going to pass out. I have no idea where I was going with that. Give me just a chance to catch up with my brain. No. None of us have to feel the guilt of giving what we don't have. But each of us have been given the grace to give what we do have. God has given to each of us the gifts of time, the gift of our talents, and the gift of our treasure. And in that treasure that represents your 6 days of work, God is going to speak to you. It may be above and beyond your pledge you've already made, or it may be to make the first pledge you've made for this. God, in his own beautiful way, is going to say to you, I want from your 6 days something that brings your family into the Sabbath rest of the seventh day. And when you give it, you are going to see more of me in the 6 days now than you've ever seen before in your life. I love this passage of scripture, and we quote it often here at DC. From Psalms 46, it says, be still. Okay, DC, be still. And know that he is God. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted among the earth. I want to pause and remind you that just because God asks you to be still, it doesn't necessarily mean that he is being still. I'll never forget our first child being born was born 8.5 weeks premature. And through that firstborn, we learned you don't want anything premature. Just as it's difficult to have a child that's premature because of the demands of that child, I will tell you, 22 years later, she's one of the greatest blessings our life has ever had. And we'll never be able to explain or understand why she came so young and why she had to fight so much to live and not die. But what I know is the life that she has brought as a result. But in that, we learned that you don't want anything in life premature. You know, sometimes you and I, we get in a pity party. We get to feeling sorry for ourselves because God hasn't moved according to our time schedule. So we'll just throw ourselves a pout, and we'll let God hear about it. You know, sometimes God will say, okay, sunshine, I'll give it to you. It's going to be premature. Boom. You don't want anything before it's time. And can I tell you what, friends? We don't want anything before its time here at Dominion Church. But God has clearly over and over again said, it's time. It's time to move to Calder Road. And so with our second child, my wife had natural childbirth. And we were going to like go to the classes that teach us to breathe and all that sort of thing, and got busy and didn't go have Lamaze. Is that the term? Yeah. So my wife and I went without Lamaze training. And I remember thinking I'd heard other husbands say things that would be real sweet and real nice to say to my wife when she had hers. And so I was saying those things, and I was pretty impressed, and I figured somebody from the hospital would come in and give me an award and tell me, I have never heard a husband so caring and so loving. About halfway through my second diatribe, my wife looked at me and she said, I want you to do one thing for me. Sure, baby, anything. She said, I want you to shut up. Be still. Don't do anything. I was crushed. My book is coming out about that moment once I finished therapy. So I remember watching her quietly endure the pain for the joy that would be set before her minutes later. And when the doctors and nurses came in, they started saying things like, push! And so I did. And one of the nurses is like, no, not you, her. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I don't know if any of you are like me, but I'll watch TV and they'll say, if you have these symptoms, and they'll go down it, then you might be having issues with this. And I'll be like, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I blink a lot. Yeah, my head hurts on the right side occasionally. Yeah, I've got that feeling in my back. I must have scoliosis. So, anyway, it came to this moment that we're in where the doctor, the professional, after saying for some time, push, he said, now stop. Rest. Don't do anything. God made your body in such a way that now your body will do the rest of the work. And if you push, if you don't observe the Sabbath, you'll actually hurt this baby. And now she sits over there, 19 years old, and my other blessing. You see, being still, observing the Sabbath in your life, it positions you to see and to hear God. It positions you to have the provision that He's reserved for this season and time. Oh, I'm not saying don't give your pledge, don't fulfill your pledge. I'm not saying don't give, stop giving. I'm saying, you know what? Be still and know that He is God, that He has positioned us to let Him do what only He can do, but to not stop doing what only we can do. Because when you get in the position of being still, and it's only that position, that you begin to see the provision that's been waiting for you to get here, waiting for this season to come. You see, being still sets us free from busyness. Not just any kind of busyness, but the kind of busyness that can betray our trust in God. We live in a society that is on the go and values busyness. As you heard me say before, I owe, I owe, I owe, it's off to work, I go. Finally, being still helps us to see that we are habitually connected to computers and caffeine. I just feel like God is calling this church to be still. And I just want to make a deal with you. I'll get off the computers if you'll get off the caffeine. Busyness. It's not a badge of honor, but it's a sad and seductive addiction. Overdone busyness, I believe, is a lack of focus on God and His provision. However, to be still is the gold standard of Christ followers. That's your Facebook post for the day. Being still is the gold standard for serious followers of Jesus Christ. So I command you to be still and rest. Be still and reflect. Be still and think. Be still and pray. Be still and write. Be still and enjoy your family. I was with my family for lunch yesterday, and as we sat around the table, we were anything but still. From the volume, we cleaned that restaurant out in a hurry. We were that family. But as we sat there, we shared our lives. We talked about and made fun of each other's quirks and little mannerisms. We told stories that made us a family. It's that revenge for all the pain that we've endured and walked through. It was in that moment of being still with my family and the ones I love the most that I found healing. The beginning of a healing for having just lost someone I've loved the most. So I command you to be still and enjoy your family. Let's be still and enjoy this family. I love coming to church here. I thought I was quirky until I got around some of you, and you give me a freedom to be me. Be still with no agenda. I promise you, be still and you'll see things a lot more clearly. You know what? Let's make a decision this morning to be still and enjoy this building program. I don't want to move into a new building and we all hate each other.
I wanted red carpet. And they put down blue.
I've waited 50 years of my life. This is the year of Jubilee for this moment. God brought us all together for this season and time. And as the three of us sat there this morning in my office and we prayed, we talked about the three of us on staff and the fourth man in the fire. Clint, I'm not finished. I'm almost at the altar call, but I hear you. We talked about God positioning us, the four of us, the four horsemen, to ride in peace and to see his supernatural provision and to not lose his presence in us and for us as we build. I finished this morning by saying, you may be guilty like Lisa, but this is a chance for you to be still. I came across this about being still, and I want to read this to you. And then we're going to pray and go home. God grows bigger when you slow down and rest in the shadow of his stature. It is in your stillness that you see the unseen activity of the Almighty. The Holy Spirit is melting hard hearts. He is orchestrating authorities in your life to bend them and to bend you toward God. He is drawing men and women to himself in the middle of Christ-like or Christless cultures. Stillness shows what your Savior is up to, and he gives us a lively hope that can be yours. Stillness shows the way. Stillness is God's way of working with you. Stillness saves time. Be still, and you will see him exalted among the nations in the earth, for stillness knows God. Thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning and prioritizing his presence. As God was using you this morning, I felt very strong in my spirit what the order of the altar call would look like. This is the house of his presence. This is where in his presence there's a fullness of joy. This is where the invitation has come today for us to enter into his rest, that we might be refreshed. Even at church, we get too busy. We'll come to the altar and we feel like we got to do this, this, and this in order for God to do this. And sometimes we think being louder improves our ability to being heard, as if now that God is a little older, he can't hear so good. Now, I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek because that's sometimes where many of us live. That somehow we just don't think God really knows where we're at and what we're going through. But I wonder, friend, if maybe it's not that, but maybe it's more, we're so busy with what we're going through, we lost sight of the fact that God has never left us and never forsaken us. As I got up yesterday morning to prepare for the sermon for Sherry Eccles, I felt the Lord calling me into a Sabbath, and the thoughts in my mind, much like yours, were like, God, I've got to write a funeral service. I've got to perform a sermon. I need to get a hold of Pastor Clinton, and I need to call Pam, and then I need to make sure that Casey is there, and then I need this, and I need, and I just, all those needs. How many of you have ever woke up and that's kind of what met you? And you've almost found, if you're not careful, yourself thinking or saying, not now, God, I'm too busy. Do you hear that? And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll give you the Sabbath. And I sat down, and even the Sabbath, I was trying to hurry. Are we done yet? I've read my 8 devotions because I'm OCD and feel like I have to shape 8 areas of my life. So right now my family teases me because my day is not complete unless I've read all 8 areas of my life that I'm trying to sharpen through these devotions. And I was trying to hurry the Sabbath when suddenly I felt the Sabbath not hurry me. I felt the peace of God come over me. And I sat there. One of the most precious things about being still is that you give God's peace a chance to catch up with you. And his peace began to speak to me and love on me, care for me, and hold me. And so I was able to take a deep breath. And out of that peace, begin to write a tribute to a friend that I've known almost 25 years. I want you to stand in the middle of your busyness, if you would. And in the middle of your own pain, in the middle of your own loss, in the middle of your own busyness, I want you to take a deep breath and close your eyes. And I just want you in some way to surrender yourself to the Lord. Maybe it's with a raised heart or with raised hands. But I speak the peace of the Lord over you right now. I speak the peace of the Lord over you right now. I declare that indeed you can now rest in the Lord. That the holy presence of God is being released to dwell in the tabernacle of your heart. And you can take a deep breath and know he accepts you just the way you are. He knows exactly where you are. For all of your fears, for all of your questions, for all your feelings, for all of your tiredness, breathe in his peace. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. But this day gives he the power on this Sabbath to begin healing and making whole the other 6 days of your week.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.